again to the verse yesterday. Chapter 2, text 11. In the context of discussing the current world events and what is the appropriate reaction from someone who's trying to become Krishna conscious. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Ashochan Anvashochastong, Pragya Vadamsh Chabashase, Katasun Agatasumscha, Nanu Shochanti Pandita. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, while speaking learned words, you are mourning for what is not worthy of grief. Those who are wise lament neither for the living nor the dead. Purport. The Lord at once took the position of the teacher and chastised the student, calling him indirectly a fool. The Lord said, you are talking like a learned man, but you do not know that one who is learned, one who knows what is body and what is soul, does not lament for any stage of the body, neither in the living nor in the dead condition. As explained in later chapters, it will be clear that knowledge means to know matter and spirit and the controller of both. Arjuna argued that religious principles should be given more importance than politics or sociology. But he did not know that knowledge of matter, soul, and the supreme is even more important than religious formularies. And because he was lacking in that knowledge, he should not have posed himself as a very learned man. As he did not happen to be a very learned man, he was consequently lamenting for something which was unworthy of lamentation. The body is born and destined to be vanquished today or tomorrow. Therefore, the body is not as important as the soul. One who knows this is actually learned, and for him there is no cause for lamentation, regardless of the condition of the material body. Om Gyana Timanandasya Gyananjana Shalakya Chakshun Militam Yena Tajamai Shri Gurave Namaha. Mourning for what is not worthy of grief. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is chastising Arjuna. Now, what exactly is not worthy of grief? Who knows? The material body is not worthy of grief. Now, why can that be? It comes into being and goes out of being. It becomes and unbecomes. It's a transitory thing, like a shooting star in the sky. When you see a shooting star in the sky, you don't lament, oh, I don't see it anymore, it's gone. Or, in a more contemporary example, if you're trying to catch a bus somewhere and you miss the bus, you don't lament completely. I mean, you might have a tight schedule, but still, what is it that you know? The next body is coming. Yes, just like the next bus is coming, the next body is coming. So why lament over a transitory thing? Now, does this sound cold and harsh and cruel? Does that mean devotees of Krishna are insensitive to people's material suffering? Not at all. Certainly, a devotee is soft-hearted and has compassion. And even though people are not the body, their spirit soul, still a devotee doesn't like to see material suffering. But more importantly, someone in knowledge, the devotee of Krishna, understands that there is a much graver injury than injury to the body. The most serious injury is injury to spiritual knowledge or the capacity to understand spiritual knowledge. That is worthy of grief, that situation. So it's not that a devotee is insensitive and cold, we don't care about the material sufferings of the people. That's not true. We just see it all in perspective, as we discussed yesterday. Just like I said yesterday, if I have a hole in my cloth, which I do somewhere, I'm concerned. I don't want my clothes to have holes in them. But I don't make it the most important concern of my life, that's all. Yeah, you might say I lament a little bit. Oh, this is new cloth from India, why is there a hole in it? Okay, so that's there. But it's in perspective of something much greater. My concern for spiritual advancement. And when there's no spiritual advancement, that is the real cause for lamentation. So you have to see the context of why Krishna is speaking like this. Ashochan anvashochastvam pragyavadam shabashase. You're speaking learned words. You're speaking like you're intelligent. But in other words, this is an indirect way of saying, Arjuna, you are a fool. You're lamenting for what is not worthy of lamentation. If you're actually intelligent, you don't lament for the living or the dead. Now that sounds really insensitive, doesn't it? You don't lament for the living or the dead? Now if you don't lament for the living or the dead, then what are you for? What else can there be except people when they're living and people when they're dead? Who can answer this riddle? Donna, what's the answer? If you don't lament for people when they're living, and you don't lament for people when they're dead, then what else is there? What are you for? Isn't all that there is either living or death? No one knows? Yeah?
Lament for those that aren't trying to become Krishna conscious.
Well, what does that mean?
Well, that they're not existing as spirit souls.
Yes. There's more to life than just the living or the death conditions. Why? Because the living condition and the dead condition refer to the body, which you're not. Living or dying doesn't refer to the spirit soul. That's why Krishna says, Nanu shochati panditaha. Gata sun agata sumsta nanu shochati panditaha. Those who are wise, they don't lament for the living or the dead. What does that actually mean? It means a devotee of Krishna doesn't care about anybody, whether they're alive or dead. Some people think that's what the verse means. That's why the purports are there, because people don't have spiritual intelligence these days. Although Bhagavad Gita is spoken in such crystal clear language, simple Sanskrit, because of degradation, blighted intelligence, people can't understand. What's this? Those who are wise lament neither for the living nor for the dead? Well, that means these Hare Krishnas are against everyone, no matter whether they're alive or dead. Does it sound like that? Isn't that what you thought when you read it first? Unless you understand the reality that you are spirit soul, and that the living or dead condition is external to you, the spirit soul, you'll become bewildered. As Prabhupada explains in the purport, Krishna is saying, one who knows what is body and what is soul does not lament for any stage of the body, neither in the living nor in the dead condition. So life and death refers to the body, stages of the body, not to the real you. The body is not as important as the soul. It doesn't say the body is completely useless and neglected. It simply says the body is not as important as the soul. So if you're going to lament, then you should be lamenting for lack of spiritual development, lack of spiritual knowledge. Now, who laments for that these days? Where's the big fundraising for giving people knowledge of the spirit soul to relieve that horrible condition. No. So if people die in a horrible terrorist attack, then many pop singers get together, and you saw this telethon. They raised, what, $150 million? Right. Now everybody agrees that's a good thing to do. They use their pop talents to raise $150 million one day. But, okay, we'll accept, naturally, that harm to the body is bad. Killing others is horrible, especially in such an atrocious way as a terrorist attack. Okay, if you accept that, then you should be even more horrified at spiritual ignorance. This is our position. We don't say people shouldn't be horrified at harm to the body. We never say that. But we want to keep things in perspective. In other words, if you are horrified at harm to the body, how much more you should be horrified at spiritual ignorance. Because you are the spirit soul. You're not the body. You're spirit soul, but you're ignorant of your spiritual identity. That's the greatest disaster. That's the greatest terrorism. Now, where are the fundraisers? Can you get 1 million out of 150 million? No, no. So this is our situation. We're not callous to people's material suffering. We say, oh, yes, yes, it's very bad. We feel very sorry. But then we feel so much more sorry for the real suffering, the most consequential ignorance and harm, lack of spiritual knowledge. What passes for religion today has no knowledge. The people are suffering a chronic lack of transcendental knowledge. They can't do the basics. They cannot discriminate between matter and spirit. What to speak of understand the controller of both matter and spirit. Now, if you want to get deeper into the whole analysis, you can look at the culture of today, which is doing everything to obliterate, to destroy people's spiritual vitality. So you can comment on, they had the telethon. How many of you looked at the telethon? Besides you, you know, they had all these movie stars and, you know, pop singers raising money. Only you? I heard about it, but. Now, could it be possible that the very movie stars and pop singers who were raising money for combating the horrible effects of this terrorism, could it be possible that they are in some way responsible? I mean, if you go to the movies and see these, what these movie stars are putting forth on the screen, couldn't that in some way be contributing to causing a degraded society? And if you listen to what the singers are singing about most of the time, has that uplifted anybody's consciousness? So could there be some link between art and culture that degrades people's spiritual vitality and the susceptibility of society to reaction? Even without understanding karma, can't you understand that if you excessively develop materially, someone's always going to be envious of you? Just let's say you yourself. You have a, what kind of car can we say? You've got a Porsche. Is it a Porsche 911 out there?
And trains.
Yeah. And, you know, you're just driving around Perth in your brand new Porsche 911, just, you know, showing off everybody's face. Yeah. Sooner or later, someone's just going to get envious and angry and do something to your car, right? Isn't that the way it works? Yeah, you'll be more than a tall poppy. You know, you'll be acting like a skyscraper poppy, so they gotta cut you down. And there you are, proudly driving in your Porsche 911, brand new. Yeah. Sooner or later, someone's gonna wanna, you know, take a swipe at you. You come out of your home, you know, if you park, all right, you can't park your car in a garage all the time. You park it on the street or even in a public garage, and you come back from shopping, and someone's, you know, scratched the side. These things happen, right? Because you've been so arrogant driving down the street, cutting in front of everybody. You ever see these guys who drive Porsches? They do that, you know, they just really, you know, just jump in front of everybody, showing off their quick acceleration and handling and like that. So people get envious. So similarly, if you have a society which is dedicated to simply increasing material opulence, those who don't have are going to be envious. Now, what might you think? Well, why can't everybody just be happy with sense gratification? This is the American dream. Why can't people just be satisfied with free elections and consumer goods? Why would they want anything more? All they really want is a Ford. All they really want, you know, is a good movie from Hollywood. Isn't that what the people really need? If you give them those things, they'll be happy and satisfied. So, once you have your Ford, and you have your Hollywood movies, and your CNN, what more could you want? You'd never want to commit any terrorist activities. That's what they think. So they're outraged. Who could have done this? Why? We're just going about our way, innocently enjoying our senses. We're going about our way, innocently accumulating opulence, being greedy and lusty. How dare somebody get angry and envious at us? But any individual can understand this is how it works. If you're driving your flash Porsche 911, you know, all over the city, not even mindful of what sections of the city you drive in, and you're ignoring everybody else and, you know, really being obnoxious, sooner or later someone's going to try to get your back. Everybody knows that. So then, once again, what were these pop singers singing about? Did their songs do anything that would really help uplift the consciousness of the world? All right, we don't condemn anybody for raising funds to help bodies. But we simply say they should be 10 times more eager to raise funds for giving spiritual knowledge. That's all. It's because people can't see the whole perspective, they don't understand what we mean. But you're not into raising funds to help bodies? If you want to do that, that's okay. But we say most of the effort should go to raising funds for what is most important, for what is really worthy of grief. That is our point. So someone was telling me the pop singers were singing songs, you know, the world needs love, and they had all these aging rock singers from the 60s with long gray hair and you know, names, big names from 40 years ago, 30 years ago, you know. What have they really done for the world? In terms of their art, it hasn't relieved suffering. It hasn't elevated people. I caught a quick glimpse, you know. And I was thinking, what would somebody from the Middle East or a very conservative Muslim society think seeing this, you know, this retinue of performers? Not that those from Middle Eastern countries with the very conservative Muslim culture are automatically angels. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, though, according to their standards, what would they think seeing these performers on the stage? They had ladies with the, you know, bouncing mammary glands, you know. In these, you know, countries like India or Muslim countries, you know, it's not done like that. So there they are, you know. What the world needs is love. I mean, no one discussed what is love. Now, I don't question their sincerity according to their understanding. But I'm saying the understanding is very ignorant. Just as Krishna is saying here, speaking learned words. Well, you can't say they're even speaking learned words. They're mourning for what is not worthy of grief. That doesn't mean you don't care for anybody's material suffering. It means that much more important it is to mourn for their lack of spiritual knowledge. So you have to understand why Krishna is speaking like this. So kind of grabbing Arjuna by the back of his neck and shaking him. You are mourning for what is not worthy of grief. What is the real thing you should be lamenting about? That's what's going on here. Not that Krishna is saying, be callous to everyone's suffering. A devotee doesn't care. This doesn't say that at all. You have to understand the context that the Lord is speaking from. So there were these pop singers, and you know what most of them do. I mean, I don't want to generalize. But you know what most of them do, right? What's the daily nutrient of a pop singer generally?
Sex and drugs.
Right. They even say it themselves. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. So by their very activities, they're causing problems in the world. And then, let's raise funds to solve the problems. But they can't see that connection. Nor can most people. They think they're just expressing themselves. They're making nice songs. They're singing about love. But the transcendentalist sees how the lifestyle that these persons are espousing is causing world problems. It's like it's causing Charlene's 13-year-old sister to drink and have, and you know, play around with boys at the age of 13. But that's not considered a crime. That's all right. We consider that terrorism, though. What kind of future will you have if, you know, from the time you're 13, even younger, 12, yeah, you're having illicit sex and taking intoxication? Even materially, it's very destructive for your psychophysical development. But people don't see things that way. Oh, they're just singing innocent songs. And then the movie stars, in between every song, the movie stars would come on and make a pitch. They would explain about some heroic activity, some performance of heroic deeds during the whole incident, World Trade Center incident, and the movie stars would make a pitch. Now, they don't understand that their lusty movies are polluting the world. They can't understand that. How do they defend themselves? Do you know? When someone points out that, you know, these movies are horrible, they're full of lust and violence, what do they say?
People have their choice.
Not only that, but they say, we're just portraying reality. That's how they defend themselves. You know, like, when they're asked, you know, how can you just, you know, be in these movies, you know, practically naked, doing these lusty affairs? Well, that's the real world, and we're artists portraying the real world. That's how they defend. The world is like that, and so we have to present ourselves like that way. You know, we're just presenting reality. It never dawns on them that they are shaping the reality. It does. You all know when you went to the movies, what you saw on the screen you wanted to do, right? If not consciously, subconsciously. Did anyone not go Is there anyone here who went to a movie and not entertain any thoughts of doing what they saw on the screen? You went to the movies? And you saw these, supposedly romantic scenes full of passion, and you actually, oh, that's what it's all about, right? When's my chance going to come, right? Is anyone here who didn't think like that? You've been to movies?
Yeah.
What do you think when you see all this on the screen? Lord Krishna, please help me. What do you think? What do you think? Everything these days has got something in it. Try again. What do you think when you see these scenes, these passionate scenes?
Just things with the world.
Huh?
Just things with what's going on, they want to make it more commercial or something.
No, you don't have any aspirations? You're not curious? You shut your eyes when those scenes come, right? Huh? The what? Yeah?
Coming away.
Which is another way of saying. Of course, these images fill your mind. You go home and think about it. Right? Yeah, of course. You think, maybe there's something I'm missing. This is what it's really like, huh? When will my time come? Yes, you become infected.
Like a virus.
Huh?
Like a virus.
Virus.
Yes, like a virus. Mm-hmm. So the people cannot see the connection between building a culture based on no sense control and these horrible things that happen. They don't see that there's reactions to inflaming the lust, anger, and greed of society. They don't see. They just think, we're just innocently gratifying our senses. And then this horrible thing happened. They don't understand how material nature works. The law of karma is there. For every action is a reaction. So when the whole society plunges into godlessness and hedonism, then you get these kind of reactions because it's a violation of the law of nature. They don't understand these kind of laws of nature. They're trying to figure out gravity, speed of light, but in terms of reaction to sinful society, they don't know anything about that. Nor do they want to know anything about that. So I was just thinking, it's always good to try to see things from somebody else's point of view. What would somebody from India or Middle East, where there's still some understanding that there should be some decorum in behavior, even if people are just doing it out of habit, out of tradition, still, without any deep understanding, still they have some surface understanding. What would they think? Seeing these, because it went out on satellite TV all over the world. I mean, I caught a glimpse of it in Singapore. So, what do they think? Seeing these singers with the chorus group behind them and the ladies just, what do they think? No one runs around in India like that. And then, I don't want to, make fun of everyone, but I'm just presenting the reality. One superstar there, he came up and sang a song. I mean, you couldn't tell what gender he was. I don't think he knew. Now, what is a person from the other parts of the world supposed to think like that? That's my point. What are people from, traditional cultures supposed to, what are they supposed to think about that, this what we want our country to be like? So I'm just presenting the other perspective, that's all. I'm not bashing this person for whatever he is or isn't. I'm just saying, you know, what would others think about it? You understand? So they all were singing songs about love, and we're going to stand up, we won't back down, and bridge over troubled waters, and, you know. No knowledge. And then in between the songs, the movie stars would make their pitch. So then this one singer, you couldn't tell what gender he was, and he obviously didn't know what gender he was. He just sang a song, his own, you know, the quick glimpse that I saw. I will kiss away your pain because you take my breath away. Was that some kind of super best-selling song or something? Huh? Yeah. I will kiss away your pain because you take my breath away. Now, what relevance that had to me, I don't know. I guess he thought that this was like really heart-soothing. It was really an uplifting or caring song. But just imagine what somebody from India or Middle East would think, you know, seeing this person. Oh, we don't know what gender he is. What is this song he's singing? Yes. But most people don't think like that. They don't understand how their activities are causing such reactions. They just think, I'm innocently gratifying my senses. I'm doing what I feel to make me happy. Everyone should do like that. And how can there be these reactions? They don't understand the laws of nature. All right. We don't mind that people want to collect money for charity for taking care of the body. It doesn't offend us. Somebody has to take care of the body. But we simply say, you should be at least 20 times more concerned about taking care of the soul. If you can raise $150 million for taking care of the body, you should raise at least $25 million for taking care... Yeah? How much? Huh? What's 20 times $150 million? Hmm? 30 billion? Or is it 30 million? 3 billion. 300 million? No. They raised 150 million for the body. Times 20. 3 billion.
The U.S.
We're talking about U.S. dollars.
$3 billion.
All right, $6 billion Australian dollars. So you can raise $300 million. You can raise $300 million Australian dollars for the body. All right, we're not offended. I mean, the body has to be taken care of. You understand the point? But then you should raise, $6 billion Australian dollars for the spirit soul. That's what we're saying. So this is the context. But people don't see that whole context. You're against the body. You don't care about people's material suffering. What do you mean we don't care about the body? We're all dressed and eating and sleeping and, our householders are having children. Children don't drop out of the sky. Did your kids drop out of the sky? Obviously, some bodies got together and produced some children. You have clothes on, you have a house. But they feel offended because we're considering something else as more important. And this is threatening to some people. We say it's a sign of intelligence. So we have to see the whole picture. It is true that these horrible things that happen our karmic reaction. But we shouldn't say that in an immature way. Ah, it's just all a karmic reaction. We feel sorry for people's material suffering, but we feel even more sorry for their suffering from spiritual ignorance. That is the point. In no way does Bhagavad Gita condone killing of the body, even though you're not the body. Unless there's some particular reason. You have to defend yourself. There's a justified cause. So even though people are not the body, Krishna is not supporting random killing of bodies. But why is Krishna urging Arjuna to fight in Bhagavad Gita? First of all, from the material point of view, Arjuna is a warrior. He's a professional warrior. It's his job to protect the innocent. And he was refraining from doing his duty. Arjuna was being attacked. His wife was being attacked. They tried to burn his house down. Took away all his wealth. You would not complain about somebody defending themselves these days if these things happen. In the USA, if someone comes onto your property and you think maybe they're some kind of marauder or invader, you can shoot the person and no one will criticize you. You're like, oh, it's actually happened to a Japanese tourist some years ago. The tourist was lost in some section of New Orleans or something and came onto somebody's property and was knocking on the door and and, you know, it was just deemed an unfortunate incident, but the person wasn't charged because you had the right. If someone's on your, strangers on your property acting suspiciously, you know, you can do that. So then why do they criticize Krishna for telling Arjuna to fight? When Arjuna is not a civilian, he's a warrior, and he's being attacked, his wife's being attacked, his brothers are being attacked, his mother's being attacked, they're trying to burn down his house, took all his property. It's really Krishna that everyone has a problem with. The supreme enjoyer, the supreme controller, that's who we have a problem with. So we have to combine both things, our heartfelt compassion, even for people's material suffering, combined with the giving of transcendental knowledge. You don't give them transcendental knowledge, what will be the solution? What are you going to give them to help them solve their problems? Pop singers and movie stars? They need understanding. Even sentimental religion won't help them. So what do they do at the end of the telethon, I heard?
I didn't see the end of it.
They all the pop singers and movie stars got together on a stage, the ones that were in Los Angeles, and they had a rousing national anthem, God Bless America. Why? Why should God bless America? I mean, not that I have anything particular against America or any country, but why should God bless the country? What is the country doing that God should bless? That's all I'm asking. Objective question. Nothing to do with partisan politics, but why should God bless? No one's asking that question. Basically what they're saying is, if there's a God, help us in our sense gratification. Protect our sense gratification. The people that were singing the songs, most of them, by their songs that they usually sing, and by the movies they usually make, are militating against God consciousness. But when there's a time of catastrophe, God bless this country, or whether it's America, Australia, Indonesia, whatever, why should God bless? Then who is God? Oh. No one's asking that question. If we say, Ikshvaku, bless Perth. Everyone's going, well, who is Ikshvaku? What is it about him that he's, that we want his blessings? But they're singing, God bless America. No one has any knowledge of God. Now, is this being cynical or is this being realistic and accurate? This is the reality. So, any questions?
Mm-hmm. One thing, say, if God is supreme, He can do anything He wants.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, in the context of when they say God bless everybody's people, saying that exactly as you said, God should bless them with their sense gratification and things like that.
Whoever He is, or she is, or whatever, the force, the energy, the power that be, let there be sense gratification.
That's right. And their only argument is, if you can do everything, why can't He grant their sense gratification to the way they want it? So how would we address that?
Yes, the Lord has given them facility to gratify their senses, but they'll also get the reactions.
So that's the next question. Why should we get the reaction?
Because you're performing artificial activities. You're not performing natural activities. You're violating the laws of nature. There's a system in place. And you're not living according to that system. So whether you're American, Australian, whatever, if you violate the system, you get a reaction. Human life isn't meant to be lived in this way. But that no one's trying to understand. Even, I'll tell you, one of the lines in the song, God Bless America, is they're praying to God, God Bless America, consecrate the country to self-control. Consecrate the country to self-control. That's one of the lines in the song. These guys are singing this song on the stage. And they're the ones who are, totally out of control. Their movies and songs. Consecrate her to self-control. God bless America. Whether America, this country, that country, who is God and why should God bless? And what are the blessings of God? The number one blessing of God is knowledge of why you're suffering, knowledge of who you are. The Bhagavad Gita is the That's God blessing America and the whole world through Bhagavad Gita. Transcendental knowledge. If you have knowledge, then you're protected against making mistakes. You're protected against mourning, lamenting for what is not most worthy of grief. So we have to see the whole picture. It's true that there's no injustice in nature. Everyone gets the exact reactions to their actions. There's no causeless, or there's no unjustifiable suffering in this world. That takes knowledge to understand. Still, just because we know that there's no unjust suffering in this world doesn't mean we don't feel sorry for people suffering. But indeed, we feel so sorry, we're dedicating our lives to relieving all the suffering, relieving the full problem, which is identification with the body. Yes?
Some people are saying that this war has been fought in the name of God, for the religious people. This war in Afghanistan is happening here at the moment.
Yes, both sides say that. Yes. What, the president of the USA, he's turned into a theologian, and in his speech to the nation said, God would not be neutral. God does not want us to be neutral. God wants us to attack. Vengeance. Now, what is this qualification to speak about God? He must then give us proof that he has knowledge of the science of God. And then, of course, the terrorists, supposedly, minority of the Muslim religion, not the whole Muslim religion, but a tiny minority. This is a holy war. For every Westerner that's killed, Allah will bless you. Where's, on either side, where is understanding of the science of God? Now, if the leaders of the nations are actually intelligent, they should call for who in this world has the most comprehensive, profound, and vast understanding of God. Come and advise us. No, don't do that. But you can gather pop singers and movie stars in three locations, Los Angeles, New York, country, that country. No inquiry into God, though. So this is what we're criticizing. But, you know, when people get emotional, it's hard for them to hear.
Yes, so are these acts still actually based, because they're coming from ignorance, they're based on irreligious principles, not...
What acts?
Well, such as the act that the president decided to attack.
From them, he has to protect his citizens.
So from the material point of view, he's...
The government has to protect their citizens. But first he should find out who the citizens are, their spirit soul. So why not put most of your attention on protecting their spiritual development? We don't say that they shouldn't protect the citizens because they're not the body. We don't say that. We say, okay, you're worried about protecting the citizens, then your number one concern should be to protect their spiritual advancement. That's the most, that's the thing most worthy of attention. All right. That'll be enough for tonight. What do you think? Understandable or perplexing?
Understandable, but
there's a lot
to be thought about.
That's good. Well, you can read Bhagavad Gita. You have a Bhagavad Gita? Yes, it's one of the world's literary classics, and certainly it's the one book that has the most knowledge of the science of God in it. So I recommend you read Bhagavad Gita from beginning to end, and it'll give you the answers to the things that we've discussed tonight.
But wouldn't I have to read all of the books? I don't mean just this, the Bible and the Quran and everything else to make sure.
To make sure that?
That was the truth.
Okay, but first read this.
It looks like a marathon task.
But you are most important. You as spirit soul are most important. So you have to do what is most important for what you really are. You're not the body, you're spirit soul. So the most important thing is that you revive your spiritual identity, your spiritual knowledge. So I'm simply urging you to take care of you in the real way and not to neglect your own well-being. That is real care. That is real personal concern. Don't put yourself in last place, ignoring your spiritual development and having time to do everything else. If there's the best source of spiritual knowledge available at your fingertips, go for it. All your problems will be solved with knowledge. Yes. Do yourself a favor. All right. Hare Krishna.
Maharaj ki.